Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a games journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. Today we're going to be talking about Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth.
You wrote Dark Corners of the World.
Oh.
Somewhere.
No, it says Earth right there.
I think it was on our schedule.
Maybe I did. I'm not even confident in Earth. It might be World.
No. I'm not confident in Earth either.
But yeah, I want to specify this is not the one that's coming out next week. This is the one from 2006.
Yes, it's the old one.
The old one. But before we get into that, how about some news?
Yes, I would love some.
I've told you about, I think, one of these. The other ones, I don't think I have. So, Lizard Dongs.
Okay, yeah.
So, Soul Calibur 6 came out. It's a cool game. And with it, there's a character creator, which is also cool. You see a lot of, like, unique creations of fighters, you know? The Twitter account I posted, somebody had made Carly Rae Jepsen.
She wants to cut to the feeling.
I've seen Bob Ross. Yeah, there's so many good ones.
The Bob Ross one was really good.
Who was the bad guy in Lazy Town?
You know, I can't remember his name.
No, we are number one memes everywhere. That guy.
I want to say, don't know why, but the name Olaf is coming to mind, but I cannot quite recall.
I know the good guy's named Sporticus.
Yes.
But anyway, he was made into a character.
Olaf. I don't know.
I saw one that was literally a Magikarp. Beautiful. Anyway, well, turns out if you use the right combination of items, specifically the heart item, the cylinder item, and the apple item, you get a goober.
Okay.
A sizable one at that.
Mm-hmm.
So characters are now showing up in online play as big naked lizards with big honking dongarongos.
Okay.
And
because why wouldn't they?
Because why not? And it is an interesting sight to behold because you're not too familiar with Soul Calibur, are you?
No, not at all.
So you don't know about Voldo?
Uh-uh.
Voldo, he's this mummy-esque looking fighter. He's been around for a while. He's known for being very uncomfortable in his motions. He'll moonwalk away in place. He'll roll backwards into like a circle and roll around. He will twist backwards, walk on his hands and feet, and hump the air. And that's an actual attack.
Why?
I think he's just meant to be extremely discomforting. He's unnatural.
Okay.
Well, of course, when you've got a giant, you know,
uh-huh.
What was the phrase? When I wrote this down, I used a phrase I loved. Non-consensual corn cob.
Yes.
So you can just waggle that in the air. So that was the thing that happened.
I don't like this.
Next bit of news.
Thank God.
There's no moral to this news bit.
What's happening.
Nintendo Labo is coordinating with, I can't remember what organization, to bring... No. Nintendo is partnering with the organization to bring the Nintendo Labo into schools.
Oh, cool.
They're doing this pilot program. It starts in New York. And the company is working with various school teachers in the upper New York area to develop a lesson plan based around the Nintendo Labo. And should it prove successful, the lesson plan will be made publicly available. And the program itself will launch to about 2,000 students worldwide.
I really like when schools incorporate video games into their curriculums and I'm not talking about like typing games or...
You don't love Typing of the Dead?
I'm not talking about games that are specifically made for school because those end up not being very good. But like, there's a lot of production value behind mass marketed video games.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot, like we were talking about with our Portal episode, there's a lot you can do with certain video games to really teach things, and especially with this day and age where a lot of jobs are tech-based and coding-based. Taking apart these games and the code that makes them work is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Redstone and Minecraft, a lot of like computer science classes use that as an introduction to binary. Logic gates. So yeah, this is a cool thing of that.
I like when things that you don't think are specifically educational are in fact very educational.
if you ever have played Aleppo, which I haven't, but I've seen, you can absolutely see the educational potential behind it, you know?
Even in just building it.
Yeah, yeah, because it teaches you things like how more power will cause greater vibration and how that can in turn manipulate sound.
That's cool.
Well, yeah, so that's happening. Last bit of news. Are you ready to hear the most 10-year-old thing I'm ever going to say?
Sure.
Nerf.
Okay.
Has announced their partnership to create a line of Fortnite Nerf guns.
Oh my god. when you mentioned Overwatch Nerf guns last week, I should have known this was coming.
I should have as well, but here I am looking at the news thinking, yeah, wow, okay.
I'm delighted by this.
So the official Nerf Instagram account posted a picture on Instagram, and it was just the words, you know, Nerf X Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like the styling that Fortnite had.
Yeah.
So like, they're making at least one Nerf something.
Probably several.
That's all I know. That's all anyone knows right now. I don't even know if it's actually going to be a Nerf gun, which...
It might just be the darts.
Forgive me. Correct word is blaster. They don't like being called guns.
Well, they're not as lethal.
Well, that's my thought process is Overwatch worked because their guns are very fake looking. They're mm-hmm. very tech, high, sci-fi, whatever.
Yeah.
Fortnite guns, while they do have a cartoonish tone to them, they still more or less look like actual guns.
Well,
and that is against Nerf's, you know, credo. So I'm wondering...
They're going to nerf it.
Well, what will they do? Will they change the color up and just have the shape? Or... I don't know.
Make it chunkier.
Will they opt in for some of the more cartoonish looking weapons available?
Yeah, I'm sure that's...
So, that's happening at some point in time, maybe... That's all we know.
Okay.
That's it for news.
Now we are talking about Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu.
Because.
2006.
Because it's spooky week, y'all.
It is. It's spooky week, and there is another Call of Cthulhu game releasing, like, I think Tuesday? I don't remember what day, but really soon.
Next time we record will be in November, right?
Yes.
At least next time we release an episode, it'll be in November. So we have to get our, like, spooky episode in now.
Yeah, we were supposed to have more. But this is our spooky episode. Ooh.
Ooh.
I'll put, like, extra echo the intro music.
We got some comments on the echo from last week.
Yeah. I'm slowly figuring out the new software. And I think I found out what the problem was when I went to set things up today.
It still sounded so crisp.
So crisp. But yeah, I'm loving what I've got. I've just got to learn how to use it correctly. Yeah. So
wise words.
This audio clip, sit boy, is going to sound fantastic.
Well, in a way, I suppose.
It's going to sound fantastic. Uh-huh. The words therein are not.
Okay. Anyway, so this video game.
Can I tell you something? Wait. You go first.
Me go first.
You go first.
Why?
Because I'm excited to tell you a bit about, like, production and, like, fun fact type stuff.
Sure.
But I don't want to do that first. So, like...
Okay.
You had mentioned prior this was your first experience with Let's Plays, was it?
Yeah. So, this game came out in 2006. I think it was probably around 2010. When I watched a Let's Play of it. So the game was old by then.
Yeah.
And the game itself is... I don't know if it's based off of one of the...
I will get into that.
Okay.
I did some research there.
I didn't know if it was based off one of the books, but...
I guess we should actually say what it is.
That's what I'm saying right now.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So it... As far as I remember... of the storyline, you are playing a detective named Jack Walters who gets pulled into an occult case dealing with this, like, group of cultists or whatever they are in the town. And as he goes to investigate, there's a shootout and he gets dragged deeper and deeper and deeper into this mystery surrounding Cthulhu and the cultists that somehow involves him. They've got pictures of him up all over the place.
The town's called Innsmouth, by the way.
It's called what?
Innsmouth?
Innsmouth.
Innsmouth. They all speak funny, so it's hard to know the proper pronunciation.
So he ends up like underground fighting fish people and stuff, and I'm pretty sure like the end of the game, I think a lot of this you keep seeing him in a mental institution.
Yeah, I do recall like clippets of that.
Because I believe a lot of this is like flashback, him telling his story about how he ended up in the mental institution, and I believe he commits suicide.
Yes. Yes.
Which as was commented on by the Let's Player I was watching, is kind of a weird way to start off a video game if you already know he's going to die in the end. But yeah, the first Let's Play I ever watched was because I was seeing a lot of a few pieces of fan art from artists I really liked about this dude. What was it like?
His username's like 666 heartless 666.
No, it's XX heartless 666 XX, something like that.
There's definitely sixes in there.
Yeah, there's a 666.
So,
but he was
heartless for sure.
Fairly popular Let's Player at the time. He's since gone dark. He's a very British man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was playing Call of Cthulhu, and apparently a lot of people had suggested this game because he kept talking about how he didn't like spooky games that tried to scare you and tried to make you think you were going crazy. And they were all like, oh, you should play this game. And apparently it had already been panned as bad.
Oh, yeah. I believe it's given a approximate average score of 6 out of 10.
Yeah. So it's not great.
I didn't think it's that bad.
It's not horrible. Like, they definitely put effort into it.
I'd say it was a decent game for the time.
I just think things didn't get pulled off as well as they thought.
Absolutely not.
So this guy was playing it, and I had just the best time watching him play. I think he also did Amnesia, which was a popular Let's Play at the time.
PewDiePie and whatnot coming out with Amnesia. Markiplier getting real popular. Everyone and their grandmother, literally,
yeah,
would play Amnesia.
So he was doing Call of Cthulhu at that time. And he kind of, he took such a casual, dry humor approach to the entire, like, madness unfolding in this game.
Uh-huh.
In a way that seemed like he was equal parts distanced from the game, as well as, like, immersed in it.
Yeah, there was like a certain sense of jadedness.
Yeah, like he was in it, but he was not. Like, it was so weird. Him walking that, like threading that needle, was so good. And it's, since I was watching this when I was in middle school, it super shaped both my humor and the way I play video games today, because like especially the way I play Fallout.
Oh,
and when I get frustrated with things and I start talking to the video game, like a lot of my commentary is taken, like the style is taken from this Let's Play. Especially one part that I remember very clearly. A part of the game, one of the mechanics, is when you get injured, it can be a different kind of injury.
Yeah, you can have... right. Like, so broken bones need wrappings, and like if you have like a gash, you need to suture it. Yeah, I remember
poison,
that.
Poison, I think, is one. Yeah, you have lacerations, fractures, broken bones, concussion. There's a lot of things to monitor on Jack Walters.
Oh, yeah.
As there were with games at the time. But I just remember, like, Jack was not a hardy fellow. Like, he would get injured with, like, the slightest... anything would,
if it's capable of injuring at any capacity, oh, he's broken a bone.
And at one point I was like deep into the Let's Play because he was underground at this point, but he's going down these like natural sort of plateau steps. And you're supposed to go down, this is the only way to get down to the next area, is to go down this like set of stairs. And at one point, jumping from one to the next, Jack broke his leg. And the kid, Heartless, the guy playing, was just like, are you kidding me? And it, like, sometimes he is Jack, sometimes he's controlling Jack. And in this moment, he was controlling Jack. And he, instead of fixing it as he usually did, he just starts jumping up and down repeatedly and yelling, how does that feel, Jack? I bet that's awesome. And just yelling at him. And I do this to my characters all the time. Brandon gets so mad at me because he'll watch me run around with like one or two hearts.
Yeah. You're just letting yourself be near death for a while.
Yeah.
Like, please heal yourself.
Because I'm like, I'm not planning to fight anything right now. And so I just let my character be injured for like however long until I feel like I need to go into combat.
You do.
Or until I'm dangerously low on health. But Brandon gets so mad because this is what I do. Because I'm like, well, I'm not going to care about this until I have to.
I'm the exact opposite. I'll heal unnecessarily a lot of the time. And I agree. It's a very interesting playthrough.
We need to watch more of it.
Giving me a fondness for the guy.
Okay. I actually think technically the first playthrough I ever watched was Freeman's Mind.
Yeah.
The Half-Life playthrough, but this one was more of a traditional.
We'll have to talk about Half-Life sometime.
Oh my god,
that'll be interesting. So I want to tell you a few things about this game.
Tell me.
So, Call of Cthulhu is the name of the novel, or was it short story? I can't remember which. That more or less launched H.P. Lovecraft's fame.
Right.
Because it has Cthulhu and, like, that whole mythos.
Mm-hmm. A very iconic sort of figure and story.
Absolutely. Well, despite the name, this isn't that story. The story that you play through this game is actually called The Shadow Over Innsmouth.
Oh, okay.
And it is similar in a lot of ways. In the game, you're a detective looking for someone. In the story, you are a scholar, and you just come across the place.
Mm.
But the premise is more or less the same. Something weird's going on. They don't like visitors, and there's weird fish people.
Yes.
You go deeper and deeper. Zadok, he's an actual character in the story, a drunkard that tells you about the people.
Mm-hmm.
The premise apparently was they had a guy a while back had formed a cult with a race of fish creatures he had found underground.
Whoa. I remember seeing like the cave drawings underground, and man, those were disturbing.
Well, apparently, he had made a deal with them for wealth in the form of jewels and fresh fish, because it's a fishing town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the police came to arrest him for his cult, the fish people came up. They called them the Old Ones, and they killed about 3/4 of the town.
Jeez.
Kind of forcing the remaining people to let him continue the cult. After a while, there was a point to where the humans were forcibly breeding with
the fish.
Like, they were making them breed with the fish people. And you go through this story, you discover the, can't remember what they called it, the secret underground world of these fish people and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And you discover the truth end of it all. You manage to escape, only to discover that you yourself are starting to turn into a fish person.
Oh, no.
Because apparently fish people children look human, but at some point in their life, they turn into fish people.
Oh, sure. That's convenient. That's very plot convenient.
It is very plot convenient. But yeah, that fun little plot twist at the end, like, you're turning into the fish person. I've not actually beaten the Call of Cthulhu game, so I don't know if that's the plot here.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the actual story.
Okay.
Behind what this game, it just kind of banks on the familiarity of the words Call of Cthulhu.
I thought the plot twist was going to be Jack was the one who started the cult.
No, nope.
He's come again.
Nope, there was a guy. He did start it.
So is that why they have all those pictures of him? Is because they know he's a fish child?
I can't quite recall, but more or less, yeah.
How common are fish children?
I guess you don't know. It is a very small town. Only a few people, I would imagine.
Okay.
Certainly not too
popular. Because they
made
it sound like Jack was, like, singularly special.
He's probably special because he was one of the few that escaped or something. I don't quite remember.
Don't know.
But so that's what the game is based off of. Based off of footage that I've seen of the upcoming Call of Cthulhu, it appears to be following the same story.
Oh, so it's like a remake?
I just know it's also taking place in a fishing town.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming it's going to follow it. I think reimagining is a better phrasing.
Okay.
Because it's not made by the same people. It's not following the same arc. It's more or less just following the same story.
Okay.
Which I'm into it. Modern graphics, it looks absolutely beautiful.
Well, yeah, like we said before, like, they definitely put effort into the 2006 game, but I think with what computers are capable of at the time, like, computer games themselves were capable of at the time, it just didn't get pulled off.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, the only thing that I thought hindered it were some gameplay decisions, like game design aspects.
Right.
So, if you were to look at it and never play it, it doesn't seem like a bad game. Then when I played it, I was like, ah, I see now.
Mm-hmm.
This is problematic.
The unending frustration of Heartless kind of clued me into. There are a few key things here that aren't quite right.
Indeed.
I think how easily Jack gets injured is probably one of them.
Yes, and the lack of save points was very frustrating.
I can imagine.
I had to redo an area 4 times because I had to go a real long while before I could find it. And it was all like, if you stop moving, you slow down too much, you die.
Ugh.
There are the occasional bugs. Like, there's like, these guys are attacking you when you tried to sleep at the inn. And you're like, oh, I gotta run out of here. And, like, there's this intense bum-ba-da-dun-dun-dun type music going on. And, like, I need to bar this door, so I start pushing a shelf. The moment I start pushing, all music stops.
Okay.
So it's just dun 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 dun.
Okay.
Okay, I guess. And it doesn't come back either. So then it's just this awkward sound of you pushing and then them slamming on doors. I didn't notice that. And
the intensity dropped very suddenly.
But,
How about
we go to our ad break
a little early,
and then afterwards we play a game.
We play a game.
We play a game.
Aye.
Innsmouth is one of the least welcoming towns in America. But every so often, outsiders find their way into the humble fishing town. And when they do, they stay at the Gilman House. At the Gilman House, you'll find nearly acceptable accommodations, with single-sized rooms, dilapidated furnishings, and minimal comforts. With our unreliable transit service, you're sure to require lodgings, whether you like it or not. Outsiders stay at the Gilman House because they have nowhere else to go. You shouldn't have come here, but don't worry, we'll find a use for you.
That is the funniest tourism commercial I've ever heard.
It is based strongly off of a Marriott hotel ad I found from the 1960s.
Really?
Well,
they were more positive.
They were positive, yes.
Okay.
I more or less just made it into a negative.
They
didn't say, like, the Marriott hotel is garbage. Come on down.
It feels like a Gravity Falls ad break. I love it so much.
I'm glad. I was very proud of it.
So, it's good.
I have a game here.
Yes.
My Brandon's Famous Guessing Game. I have listed on this paper 4 things. They're all real things in literature.
Mm-hmm.
However, one of them is not by
H.P. Lovecraft. Gotcha.
Those things.
Let's see if I know this. I was always really bad at the literature section and in the know.
I will say the name and then a small subtitle of their description.
Okay.
First is Shub-Niggurath, the black goat with 1,000 young.
Okay.
Strigoyekvar, the master of the monolith. The Necronomicon, the forbidden grimoire. And Whippoorwill, the death-watching bird.
See, I want to say the Necronomicon because I know that from Evil Dead. But I know that was not invented by the Evil Dead people. I'm just not sure if that was an H.P. Lovecraft thing. The fact that it's so popular makes me think that it is.
It is very popular.
Yeah.
I would argue it's the most popular thing on this page.
Because it's the easiest thing to say.
like a very familiar concept, you know, forbidden book of knowledge. It's very HP style.
Okay, you did not stumble over Necronomicon at all. I'm just saying it's the easiest word to pronounce on that page.
That's true. I did. These are hard to pronounce, all of them.
Can you read me the last one again?
The Whippoorwill, the death-watching bird.
I feel like it's that one.
You're going to go with Whippoorwill?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Was it the Necronomicon?
The Whippoorwill, it actually occurs in the Dunwich Horror. Another famous H.P. Lovecraft.
And another Fallout reference.
Yeah. Fallout likes to reference the Dunwich story.
I did the Dunwich Borers thing in Fallout 4, and there was, like, a cult thing happening, and I got a culty knife out of it, and I was like, I don't understand. This is a game about atom bombs and stuff, and I just ran into, like...
Yeah, it's very...
I don't know what happened, and then you decided to explain to me about the Dunwich Horrors.
Because they do that. They have an actual haunted place in Fallout 3 as well. And you're right, that's very out of style for them. I'll tell you, the Necronomicon.
It was a Necronomicon.
No. The Necronomicon is H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, okay.
It is most famous for appearing in Call of Cthulhu. However, its first appearance happened in a different story by him called The Hound.
Oh.
Shub-Niggurath is actually another really well-known H.P. Lovecraft creation. It is, like, if you're to tier list every H.P. monster, it's number 2 under Cthulhu.
Okay.
And yeah, it's considered the black goat with 1,000 young, and it's referenced a lot. I mean, you hear about it in a Stephen King novel, for example. The Strigokiavar. I don't quite know how to pronounce that one. The Master of the Monolith? Not H.P. Lovecraft. It is instead in The Black Stone, written by Robert E. Howard.
Okay. I've
the
never
story,
heard of
however, was one of his few. Let's just call it fanfic.
Okay.
Of H.P. Lovecraft mythos.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So he was basically emulating Lovecraft,
gotcha.
But it was not. Yeah, that's a fun little fact there. Speaking of actually fun facts, the Shadow over Innsmouth? That was actually the first and only story of H.P. Lovecraft that was turned into a book while he was still alive.
Explain this to me.
I don't know the details about that. Apparently, though, a lot of them were either compilations or just not published until after his passing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But that one was apparently,
Dude wrote a lot.
He did write a lot. There's a whole lot.
Do you think anyone's going to publish my unpublished stuff after I die? Going to have a lot of it.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Sure, why not? Because if you're dead, I get the royalties.
Sure. Okay.
But it works. I'll totally do that. Hey. I keep almost swearing this episode. I'm sorry. I'm just a potty mouth tonight.
I missed it. Sorry.
That wasn't an awkward laugh. That was me not swearing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. Do we have any other fun facts? I don't know a lot. I don't know a ton about this game. It's been a really long time since I did. I don't think I watched the entire playthrough because I think at the time that I was watching it, it still wasn't complete. But they're only like 10-minute long videos. They're only like 10-minute long videos. They're not like the ones I see you watching that are like half an hour. They're like Game Grumps videos.
Yeah, that's... The YouTube algorithms really strongly prefer 10 approximate minute videos.
Okay.
I could rabble a long while about how YouTube is not good for creators, but that's not what this podcast is about. It's about Call of Cthulhu. So I've always loved H.P. Lovecraft's work.
You know, I'm not a fan of horror.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you might know, I just never really dipped into that particular pool.
That's fair. Well, I am a fan
of I just
of
know
horror.
It basically in name only. Like, I know what Lovecraftian is.
Yeah, you're familiar with popular culture effect of Lovecraft.
Right. I am aware of what an eldritch horror is.
I love it, because I like a good horror. I like the whole scary suspense. I like... the idea of a omnipotent monster, or even not omnipotent, just, you know, a powerful, mind-bendingly gruesome creature. I think that sounds very interesting.
Can I tell you, I don't remember if I've told you about this post before, but there was a post I came across that really has changed my view on, like, how demons and eldritch monsters work in fiction.
Okay.
Where someone had asked a question, something like, you know, why do demons come when you summon them if they're much more powerful than humans are? And someone said, well, think of it this way. If a bunch of ants in your kitchen got into a circle and started chanting your name really, really loudly, you'd come over and take a look. And then if one of them said, I'm in love with this girl, but she doesn't notice me, make me important to her, well, you don't know how to do anything about that because that's ant society and you have no control over it.
Here's a piece of cheese, I guess.
So you end up killing all the rest of the ants.
Oh.
And so it's just that ant and the girl ant. And then you're like, okay, now you're the only one left. Have fun. And he's like, what have I done?
That is a very interesting way of looking at it. Yeah. I like that.
And so it's complete, like, that's probably going to get reflected in my writing now of people being like, I came because I was curious.
That is interesting. Because, like, you know, you have the power to make them immensely wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to be a bit twisted about it, you can, you know, burn them.
Yeah.
You can do evil demonic stuff. That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, because, like, you don't work on the same level they do.
Yeah.
Be careful when summoning demons, kids.
Probably just shouldn't, actually. Just don't summon anything.
Yeah.
Except maybe...
You don't know what they're capable of.
Maybe summon a pizza. Send it to our P.O. box.
I wouldn't trust it. No.
We don't have a P.O. box. if we did, do not summon pizza. Do not send pizza to us.
Do not summon pizza to us.
But he also, H.P. Lovecraft, not the pizza guy. He also often dives into the concept of forbidden knowledge.
Oh, yes. I imagine this is a popular topic with a lot of sci-fi writers.
Oh, I can imagine. Like, especially if you're going into, like, sci-fi and horror.
Yeah.
They go side to side really well.
There's an obsession within, especially the, like, I mean, like we said, especially sci-fi and horror literature, but just the literature community in general of, like, humans not being allowed to know things, and that's why we don't know everything yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the topic of so many, like, that's the reason that so many people write, is like finding new things that, you know, things that we didn't know before.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, nowadays, we have a pretty good understanding of the human body.
Mm-hmm.
We know what will kill it.
Right.
We don't have a complete understanding of the human mind.
Yes.
So the idea that there's something we don't know about, something just information capable of destroying someone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very interesting, very powerful unknown.
I think that comes from the fact that psychology itself is a very, very, very new science. Like, it's like less than 100 years old.
Yeah, we still aren't figuring it out.
It's had bad PR for a lot of its infancy, which led to a lot of things like, you know, H.P. Lovecraft and many other authors of the time seeing the study of the mind as an inherently terrifying thing.
Did you know there is a black and white film adaptation of The Call of Cthulhu?
Should we watch it?
I would love it.
It sounds so creepy.
I found it on Netflix, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's still there because this was like 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. So I don't know. Maybe. I'm going to look into it. It's pretty good for, like, because that was back before they had real audio, you know, microphone recording.
So, yeah.
Like, text on the screen and then movie.
Oh, it was a silent film?
It was a silent, that's the word. Yeah, okay. It was a silent film.
They have a word for those.
Yeah, it was made also in the 60s, I believe.
Do we have anything else to say about this game?
No. I think,
It's a... Like, it's not a lot to it. Like, you play a role.
There's so many small things I could talk about. How everyone in that town, right? They look like you squeezed them. I'm sorry. I guess I shouldn't have said that while you were taking a drink. Well, they do, because like they all are kind of fat. They all have like these pudgy faces, but like sunken eyes, yeah, but also pudgy eyes.
This is trying to render realistic faces on...
Well, because that's exactly what the story was describing. And like everyone had these really strange looking features to them.
Oh, okay.
So like they were being very true to the story. Everyone looks off.
Okay, that makes sense.
Some of them got like very bulgy veins. It really seems like you're just kind of compressing them to see... Like when you squeeze one end of a ketchup packet.
Yeah. Heartless's initial commentary in the first episode of his playthrough, when he opens up the menu and you see the image of Jack, and he's like, whoa, sorry. I'm so busted.
Yeah. I've also been, because I'm cool, I've been going through a Let's Play for a client's video YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when I saw, like, the first time you see the corkboard full of pictures of you, like, wait a second, that me? I was just cutting between the pause menu face and that face, like, yeah, that was me. Then there was another
I'm
guy.
That special kind of ugly.
When I was stopping to appreciate one of the random villagers, I put the logo for a can of Campbell's Chunky Soup.
Yeah.
Because he was a chunky fella.
Because you're mean.
Hey, they are trying to kill me.
I guess.
So I get to make fun of them and their chunky soup and their wooden van. Why is their bus made of wood?
Because there was a period of time when it was very trendy to have as much wood as possible on your car.
It looks like the creation of like a Sims Castaway game. Like gobble dwarf, hammer some nails, bam, you have a bus. It doesn't make sense. It looks like crates on wheels.
It might be.
I don't know how it got where it did. No wonder it breaks down. They've got a lot of crates.
It's a fishing village.
They do have a lot of crates, and they have a lot of fish.
And they slapped some wheels on it and made it go.
Slap some wheels. Everyone talks funny.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about this game now, because, yeah,
it
drove me
nuts. It does
have
the effect of, yeah, it drives you slowly crazy just because of the amount of, like, unlikable things that are just involved, like, inherently involved.
Oh, God. Okay. So, you know how... Most computer first-person games, the controls are WASD.
Yeah?
Nope.
What is it?
It's it's WADZ.
Why?
It's in a plus shape instead of, like, the Tetris T. And then the button in the middle is supposed to be your interact button.
Okay.
I couldn't do it. I could not. I ended up going in the settings and swapping it so Z is my action key, because like, I have it be E, because there's like a lean left and right option, which was forward thinking for the time, but it doesn't matter. Kind of matters. So the game's very awkward to control, I get it down. I did have this bug to where if I ever walk backwards upstairs, my game crashes.
It just can't handle. You clip straight through the whole system.
I must have, because like, I was sitting here wondering why do I keep crashing at this exact moment. And it's because I'll walk up to a mirror, look at it, and then try to walk away from it. And this happened like 4 times in a row. I thought my game was broken. Then I realized, no, I gotta stop doing that.
I gotta stop looking at myself.
So it was my fault. I thought this was
like important to the game. No, you just kept looking at yourself every time. Like, I'm still not over this. I'm still not done.
So if you go into it with kind of like a laughy feel. Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Don't go into it thinking it's going to be like
the pride
of its time.
That said, though, it's not been bad so far. Like, the puzzles haven't been impossible. The narrative aspect of things have been decent. It's when you get to actual gameplay elements, like taking damage and having to run from things, that it really kind of hurt. Stealth? Still don't understand that. You can stealth standing up.
Yeah.
And you also crouch. I don't know which I should be doing. And they'll be like, he's over there. So I'll hide behind a crate that I was standing next to. And it'll be like, ready, go. Which, because that's what they talk like, by the way. They all sound like
people.
What's a very viscous material? Gelatin? They sound like they're gargling gelatin when they talk.
Oh, maybe. Ooh, they got a mouthful of that lime goodness.
It only further accentuates the idea that I'm thinking they're going to burst.
Their skin was not made for the fish parts.
The fish part.
They're gonna explode.
I came across this young girl. She was drawing a picture of a house on fire.
Oh, I remember her.
They never touch on that. I just remember looking at her and then like, wait a second, that's a house in flames.
I feel like this is a thing that Heartless touched on.
We
have to watch this, the rest of this, because I do remember this.
I'm
being like, what
watch.
Is happening?
So, listeners, maybe I'll link to his. Is there like a? He probably has a playlist.
There's a playlist of it. Yeah,
I'll probably link to that.
If you look up his username, Heartless 666 Call of Cthulhu, it's like right there.
Yeah. So this has been the Heartless Fan Podcast.
Mm-hmm. He's gone now, but he had some good content.
I tried getting in touch with him.
I know.
I was hoping to have him on as a guest or something because he stopped doing YouTube years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hoping maybe if I reached out, dude went dark.
Yeah.
I cannot find any trace of him anywhere. It's impressive, actually, in this modern time,
Maybe Cthulhu got him.
Oh, he knew too much.
Oh, he was just irreverent. Just completely irreverent.
Interesting.
And Cthulhu didn't like it.
He's evolved. I like that idea.
Now he's
that
a
makes
fish
it
man.
More understandable.
It's so good, though. Like, you haven't lived until you've watched him taking out a bunch of fish people while the Hydra is in the middle of the room singing Cuban Pete really loudly.
The other thing is, I cannot remember a single, like, joke or thing he said, but I do remember enjoying him basically the whole time. There's that interesting air about him.
I'm trying to look at a portrait, but Jack keeps going, it's locked. And he's
it's
like,
locked.
That's not, no, it's a painting.
I kept trying to guess what it'd be, so it'd be like, I'll go up to a door and I'll say, it's locked. I'll click it. It won't budge.
Yeah.
Like, crap. All right. Go to the next one.
You play rock, paper, scissors with Mario.
Yeah, I'm playing rock, paper, scissors and I'm losing.
Mm-hmm.
It won't budge. This door is locked. Come on, Jack. Let me at least have this. Give me alcohol for 45 minutes that no one would drink. No one would drink it.
Are we done?
I guess we're done. I'm just ranting. Housekeeping. Justine has a romance novel. Check that out.
It's called King of Fools. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the Burroughs website.
Pretty good.
Leave a review if you do happen to read it.
That's
all the
true.
Reviews super duper help me.
Yeah. That's positive.
Tell your friends if they're interested.
We're artists. We thrive on feedback.
Yes. Word of mouth is a very powerful tool. If you guys could, at least, if it's not your bag, maybe it's your friends. So.
I don't understand word of mouth.
We'll talk about it later.
So, otherwise, this podcast... Oh, I didn't tell you about my website, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
This podcast, if you want to review it on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, that helps more people find us. And, like she was saying, word of mouth is very helpful. iTunes reviews are also very helpful. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at Cozy Co-op Podcast. I tweet when the episode goes live, and I also do some... fan interactions and post jokes and stuff. Just check it out.
It's a good time.
You want to email us? CozyCoop@thelizardrock.com is the email. You can email us a game recommendation or some fun information about a game we're going to talk about, suggest a game, just whatever you want. Send us pictures of an unspeakable horror.
Sure.
I'm actually kind of scared of that one.
Do it. Corrupt our inbox.
The news can be found at thelizardrock.com. I write news there. I've changed it. I updated the layout. It's much cleaner, much more fluid looking.
It looks pretty.
And I no longer am doing the one post a day thing. I used to do an amalgamation of news for the day in one posting. Now I'm just doing regular old news posts per topic.
Okay.
So I post 1 to 3 times a day with the latest news. I like it because in my mind, it's a good place to go if you want a more casual approach
to
them.
Sure. Like this podcast.
You can go to any news site and you'll hear like very business formal. Here's what's happening. Here's the information. Here's some links to the source. But I'll be like, hey, here's the thing. I kind of hate it, but it's happening
you
anyway.
You put your opinions in there.
So I don't take it too seriously. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by visiting thelizardrock.com. More info about how you can support the podcast by helping yourself, really, can be found there. Next week's episode. I forgot to write it down.
We are doing Tetris.
Tetris. That's right. The Tetris franchise, which that'll be fun. Tetris effects coming out and whatnot.
Tetris is a household name, so it'll be kind of fun to get into the history of that and the Tetris effects and all that that implies.
My favorite's Dr. Tetris.
Is that a play on Dr. Mario? Yeah. Well, you think you're so funny.
It's not. It doesn't have the same fluidity as Miss Tetris. I can't even say it right. Miss Tetris.
Miss Tetris.
Miss Tetris. It's like the harder version of Mr. It's not Mr. Pac-Man.
Dig Tetris?
I'm just saying words now. We should stop.
Okay.
Outro.
Outro.
That's you.
That is me. I thought we were just going to go into outro music.
No, we got really to say the end.
It's like when you go to bed with your clothes on.
I do that every night.
Well, that's it for us today. Cozy up. You do not. You're lying. Stop lying.
It's how I keep myself free from sin. Jesus is watching.
Cozy up with us next week on the Cozy Co-op. We love you. Goodbye.
Outro music.
Outro music. Thank God.